remember the the arrangement on that. Whoever else that was appointed to, whether Katu or whoever else, they all contracted by LTE. If you like, LTE would have been your, what you call it, 10-key project manager of that project in Guyana. The aim of the meeting is to be kept abreast and also to be briefed by the department about that project. In particular, where they have been unfinished projects to a point where it also does not get confined to Kiani or to Mpopo. Elsewhere where you have such, this is how the notice was crafted for the department, so that it is not only confined to Kiani. Mrs. Kaula almost immediately commented saying, we also do have other similar situations even in Durban. Those are the exact words that she used. That's what brings us together today. The aim is to avoid any future accidents where young and old find themselves tripping into those open holes. The latest would have been your 6-year-old the 6-year-old sorry about that. May the young soul rest in peace. The minister did brief me about a visit that together with the premier and other community members visited the family to pay their respect to the family of a young 6-year-old Mshongo. It's quite a tragic situation that must never happen again. And this session, therefore, is aimed at ensuring that that does not happen again in future. We must also bear in mind that this is not the first. We've had also other similar situations in other, you know, places, but those are also places that whose holes are left open after digging, but those would have been in some people's farms, call it private property in that context, but we have a responsibility for as long as works are done that relate to water or sanitation infrastructure layout, whether it is private property or otherwise, the department must just take a responsibility of having to make sure that it shall just have to be ready to answer for those. As I say, for as long as it is infrastructure layout that has to do with water and sanitation, we have a responsibility of making sure that, you see, people out there you know, when they talk, seeing any activity taking place, that whether it's got to do with water or sanitation, you know, people out there, when they talk, they say, you know, you government people, they don't differentiate whether it is local, whether it is private, or whether it is provincial. You government people, you know, that deal with water and sanitation, you must answer. That's generally how it gets to be, unfortunately. That's why I'm saying you have a responsibility of having to make sure that that does not happen, whether it is in a private or whether it is local, whether it is provincial. You have to play that oversight role. So in a nutshell, that's what we are about today. We do have an apology from the minister who is attending a cabinet meeting that starts or started at 8:30. It has been signed off by the parliamentary liaison officer. Welcome, members, Dr. Kabini, Mr. Zwane, Ingo Strebekulu, Mr. Khair, Mr. Hugo, Mr. Basson, Mrs. Makhavane, Mr. Mguni. These are the members of parliament that are here today. We did not receive any other apology from other members of parliament who are expected to be part of this meeting. So they are regarded as absent. As such, therefore, human resource division within parliament shall record them as having been absent today. I think there's a policy here that says no work, no pay. That's the essence of having to write these letters officially so that they are submitted accordingly. It talks to that. Apart from your party dynamics as to how your party handles you not being here, Mr. Basson is demonstrating by hand or by a sign, you know. Deputy Minister, that's what we are about here. Unfortunately, we do not have, together with us, LTE. They did not write anything accordingly to excuse themselves from this meeting, which we don't take it kindly, because we make an effort for a reason, because some of the things that are to be reported here may require their technical responses, hence they were invited here. But they choose to be rude to us by not coming, let alone writing, apologizing, stating whatever reason. I call it being rude. Members, that's what we are about today. And then, without waste of time, we shall hand over to the Deputy Minister and the team to take us through. Thanks.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members of Parliament. I'd like to start by saying I'm seeing you for the first time officially in this kind of meeting this year, and I want to say compliments before I even start the meeting, as we have been invited by the Chair. Happy birthday. I should know. Happy birthday, Honourable Member. I've been invited.
Mrs. Mahawane's birthday was on the 14th of February, on Valentine's Day.
Oh no.
Happy birthday to you. Mine was on the 5th of February.
Oh.
We are all in that month of lovers.
Well, I thank you.
Thank you. Sorry about that, Minister.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Indeed, we have been invited by the Chair to make presentation on the status of unfinished projects in Giyane. The report will be on the Giyane Water Supply Project Directive of 21 or 21st December 2018. We know that this has been in the public domain for quite some time, and we know this project seeks to supply 55 villages in Giyane. And what was difficult, I want to say it here, that the way the legislation was made was that we are responsible as water and sanitation for the bulk water supply and also building of the dams and also refurbishing of the dams. And think whether we need to correct it again, that because we are this custodian of water, we can't build a dam and then we leave it without making sure that that dam is utilized by our people. And that responsibility of retitulation is given to local government. I think I've seen the presentation which is going to be presented, and I know that there's work done. And in your letter, Chair, you requested that you need chairperson of Lepele Northern Water Board, which I think I did see in this morning, Chief Executive and the Chief Financial Officer, and also there's also a chairperson, yes. They are with us, Chair. And without wasting time, Chair, I think I need to make sure that the faces that I hear, you are all familiar to them, and I think for the record, they must introduce themselves. And after that, I will hand over to the acting chair to take us through. Thank you very much, Chair. May I start with Beza next to me? Introduce yourself.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister and Members of Parliament. I'm Beza Ntshona, the head of office in the office of the Deputy Minister.
Good morning. I'm Leonardo. I'm responsible for infrastructure, both operations and maintenance.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Deborah Muchotli. I'm the acting DG for the Department of Water and Sanitation.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Lesiba Tumubatla, the acting regional head of Limpopo DWS.
You are so good as a regular.
My apologies, Chair. I'm Lesiba Tumubatla, the acting regional head, Department of Water and Sanitation, Limpopo.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members of the Committee. My name is Magidi Annabelle Mpahlele. I'm representing the Acting Chairperson of Lepele Northern Water. Excuse me, sorry very much. The Chairperson couldn't be with us today because he's having a surgical for the mother. It's Mr. Mazipe, he's the Acting Chairperson of Lepele Northern Water. So I'm just on his behalf. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members and Deputy Minister. My name is P.K. Lugodi. I'm the Chief Executive of Lepele Northern Water.
You being a representative of the acting, in other words, you are the acting, and who are you?
Chairperson, thank you very much. I'm a board member at Lepele Northern Water. That's my capacity. I was requested by the acting chairperson to be present today because the committee has requested us to be here to give explanation together with the department. So I thought that as a representation of the board, we should honour the invite as well as to explain to the committee on updates so far. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair.
You might as well use any other one next to you. Because I'm chewing up and got out of here.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning. Chairperson, Deputy Minister, Honorable Members of the Parliament. My name is Valoyi Sibongile. I'm the current CFO of Lebele Northern Water.
Good morning. My name is Franz Mwatse, acting CFO of the department.
Good morning, Chair and the Honorable Members. I'm Dumisan Lupungela, Security Advisor in the Department of Water and Sanitation. Thank you.
Chair, just to highlight a few things that I always remind the officials that the people that answer questions in Parliament is members of Parliament. Whatever they do, which is not right for the department, it's us to answer. I say this because I know that the death of the Sugu was our fault because we were told that there were trenches that were left open. That's the reason why the child died, which I think we will get report along those issues by Lipele and also the acting DG. And I would like to say that we don't expect another death at any given moment, and because the reasons are done by us of the death of the child, and people answering all the questions in Parliament, it's either the Minister or the Deputy Minister. Nobody else answers questions in Parliament. And those mistakes are done by officials. So I'm saying this because they must also answer all the questions around the death of the child and also make sure that they give honorable members hope that it will never happen again. I would like to hand over to the acting DG. Thank you.
Let's get to know those at the back, so that we get a fair sense of understanding as to who is here. We don't do that often, but from time to time we get all the new faces. If you are part of the public, it's fine. If you are part of, you know, the department or part of Lipele, so that we get a sense as to who is here.
Good morning, Chair, Honorable Members, and the Deputy Minister. My name is Rex Mtileni. I'm the Chief Director responsible for water services and local water management in the Department of Water and Sanitation. Thank you.
I can safely say that we're seeing you for the first time. Sorry?
For the first time.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Deputy Minister and all the colleagues. My name is Ramasinghe Thomas Miso, Department of Water and Sanitation, in the Chief Directorate of Regional Park Infrastructure.
Good morning, Deputy Minister, Honorable Members. My name is Babalwa Manyakanyaka from the Corporate Planning of the Department.
Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Petunia Ramunyewa, Chief Director, Operational Support in the Department of Water and Sanitation.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Good morning, Deputy Minister. Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Wukusiwe Matonsi. I'm part of the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Good morning, Chair. Morning, Members. Morning, Deputy Minister. My name is Ndilaka Mohapi. I am the acting DBG responsible for planning, monitoring, and evaluation.
Good morning, Chair, Deputy Minister, Honorable Members. My name is Mbumi Phakade. I'm responsible for strategic projects and stakeholders in the Office of the Minister.
Good morning, Chair, Deputy Minister, and Honorable Members. My name is Zola Zweni, the PLO in the Ministry.
Good morning, Chairperson. Thank you, Deputy Minister. Good morning, Members of Parliament. My name is Toko Nokhoshe, and I'm a Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the Office of the Deputy Minister. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson, Deputy Minister, and Honourable Members. My name is Sputnik Radau. I'm the Director, Media Liaison and Content Development in the Department of Water and Sanitation.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Deputy Minister and Honourable Members of Parliament. My name is Lou Vo Dumse. I'm the Media Liaison in the Office of the Deputy Minister.
Would content is by the Portfolio Committee on Water.
My name is Maria Solomon. I'm the committee secretary to the committee.
I can assure you, members, that we did not know some of the members or some of the officials that came to introduce themselves. It becomes important that we get to know as to who is who. At times we have this person, the other day we have somebody else from the department. Dow not is on the agenda, Deputy Minister. We have been acting for a long time. It's not on the agenda, but another one would say we're almost at the tail end of our term. Maybe some of these posts shall be filled in the next term or in the next financial year. There's no DG, there's no CFO. Who else who's critical, expected? I think those two are very critical. When you don't have those two, it's a sign of a department that is not doing well, apart from many other things. But whether the issues or not. Once you don't have a DG or a DG and CFO, then you must get to know that there's problem that are going to come from time to time. So it's a sign that equally says whether we're here in the next term or not, you need to move with speed in filling those posts. Easily those posts can also talk to not being filled, can also talk to underspending on your part as a department. Posts that are supposed to have been filled for quite some time. As I said, it's not on the agenda, but one thought that as you had to introduce yourselves, we needed to make this point, Deputy Minister. And the other last point I really want us to look into going forward is your organogram. Something that is also not on the agenda. organogram having to be brought to Parliament, I'm not suggesting that we must be the final arbiters, but also to get a sense as to who is doing what in your department. Part of our responsibility as members of Parliament is to hold the department and the executive to account on what you do with the money that we endorse, if you like, as Parliament. If you like, we also play that, insofar as private sector practices are concerned, that fiduciary duty. We play that oversight role and responsibility. Okay. So, members, Deputy Minister, you are still on the floor. I think it was...
I've handed over to the acting.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Thank you, Chairperson. The department currently has 7 large projects that are implemented. There are those that are having some hiccups, which will be reflected, which are reflected on the presentation to be made by Mr. Manas. We have 4 dam safety rehabilitation projects. We have 106 RBIC projects. Now, of the 106 projects, between April and now, 7 are completed. 8 will be completed by end of May. 5 will be completed by end of December. And the rest will be running in the next financial year and the subsequent financial years. The presentation on, as I've indicated, Mr. Manas is going to be doing with now the acting DDG in infrastructure. We'll do the presentation on all these projects that I have mentioned. The one on Giani will be done by the CEO of Lepelle as the implementing agent. On that note, Chairperson and Honourable Members, I would like to hand over to Mr. Manas.
When you say acting DDG for infrastructure, what do you mean? Where is the DDG?
The DDG, Ms. Marcatini, is placed on suspension as a result of the number of charges that she's faced with and as a result of the investigations that are currently running where she is implicated.
May I ask something on that one, Chairperson? It's my first time that I hear. Morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Morning.
Let me repeat again. Morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning, sir.
And you honorable members.
Morning.
Morning.
Thank you very much. You must start a day by greeting. Chairperson, I wanted to check. You know, it's my first time that I hear that the DDG has been suspended. It's my first time. Doesn't the department have a KTC? These people are also accountable. The acting, you, the DM, the minister, even the DDGs are accountable to this portfolio committee. So don't you have a KTC of just indicating to the portfolio committee through something in read to indicate that, no, we have got these challenges in the case of this suspension. You understand? This might be the challenge. So that we are in the know. You see, we don't hear something for the first time. You know, we keep on phoning the same person. We keep on phoning that particular person. And that particular person gives us answers which are not ready. A person is not at work, but will give us answers. You understand? So now it looks like the portfolio committee is spying on the department, Then it should be the other way around. When we know that, no, this one has been suspended or has taken whatever, then we know who should we talk with their contact numbers. Don't you have that courtesy? Because this thing has been happening for quite some time. Not even now. It has been happening quite some time. Chairperson, I wanted to put that unto you.
Mr. Mguni is very correct, Deputy Minister. There must never be any assumption. There must never be any taking for granted. These members are very intelligent. They may be quiet, but they know a lot. They know a lot of what is happening in the department. When you do not inform them, when you do not bring any information to them, these members, they literally look at you and begin to wonder as to what does this person think of us? That's what these members ask quietly. So, and these members can say things now as to the fact that this very same person, Mrs. Makatini, is not being suspended for the first time, not for the second time, not for the third time, not for the fourth time. Am I right?
Yes, you're right.
Some procedures.
So, at the end, we can safely say a lot of money is being spent in that whole process of litigation. We asked you a question the other day on your budget insofar as matters related to litigation are concerned. I remember the response that came by, it was neither here nor there. A figure was given, but some of these members clearly behind that question there were many other questions. So what Mr. Mguni is saying is that let us try by all means and be professional. That's all what we are calling for. Professionalism and respect of Parliament. That's what these members, if I'm saying anything outside of the mandate that members have, unless members want to say something else. It's professionalism and respect. And the unfortunate part is that we are then taken to be very unfair. Yes, you are doing a number of right things and correct things, progressive things. But small things, they overshadow those many right things. If they were to be done correctly, on time, we don't have issues. We continue to do our work. I just thought, let me just raise it so that we don't push it under the carpet. It's business as usual. Thanks.
Okay. Chair and honorable members, there is no intent on our part to disrespect whatsoever. Let's apologize. Let me apologize for this and say that we have noted the concern and we will improve on that part. Just that, to be honest, on my part, I didn't know that I was to inform or write or whatever in an official manner to the committee. So apologies on that. We will, should it happen again, we wish it not to happen, that we have to suspend, because suspensions have got implications and impacts on service delivery. So we wish that not to happen, but should it happen, Chairperson and honorable members, I know I will then write to the committee and inform the committee accordingly. Shall I, on that note, Chair, hand over to Mr. Mena?
Welcome, Mrs. Kaula. Thanks.
Once again, good morning, honourable members, honourable chair and deputy minister. As the acting DG have led us into the introduction of a number of projects that we have, my presentation will just go through the three components four components of business that we have with regards to augmentation projects. This will be a large mega project that is being funded through the augmentation fund that we receive from National Treasury, and then also strategic asset management, which will be the dam safety rehabilitation projects. And then briefly, as since we recently met with the portfolio committee on the BEP, the bucket eradication program, we'll briefly touch on those ones as well again. But and then also lastly then the RBIC, which is the regional bulk infrastructure grant projects that we will do. These are the projects that we have identified to be delayed, and we, as per the letter, we have not only focused on the water services projects, but also went as far as the water resource projects are concerned in terms of the infrastructure build program that we are busy with. With regards to the Hazelmere, the raising of Hazelmere that supplies water to the Etiquette Metro in KZN, that project has been delayed beyond what we would really have loved it to, because of issues regarding the contractor that has been appointed to do the work. It has come to a point where we had to, because of the expiry of the contract that came there, that the job had to be terminated. And this also led to a delay in the procurement through the outsourcing, obviously, that the load cells that was required as a component to ensure that we then complete the dam, because the work is 95% completed, but at this point in time we can't fill the dam or impound the dam beyond 60% because of the stabilization process not being completed. That is a safety measure according to the Dam Safety Surveillance Office that was given to us, to say that don't fill it more than 60% at this point. So that is the unfortunate part of the delay as it stands. Currently, there's no safety concern as the dam is being operated within the safety parameters given by the Dam Safety Surveillance Office. What we are doing to actually fast-track the process to ensure that we have a turnaround there is that we have appointed our internal contractor to deal with the smaller works, like for instance the construction of the outbuildings that is required for the housing of the operational staff that was be within the impoundment area that is being moved, as well as some of the offices that had to, or other buildings that had to be moved. The internal contractor is dealing with that. But as far as the dispute is concerned with the contractor, that is being dealt with, and it is trust that where a reappointment could occur as soon as mid-March 2019. The raising of Sanin Dam is similar to Hazelmere Dam, is now being operated at a lower level as well, due to the fact that the spillway has already been, this work has been already commenced on the spillway, but there's a delay in the appointment of the contractor, and due to the transfer of projects from the PSP that was appointed through our implementing agent, and this is being addressed, but we are hoping to use we are planning or in the process of mobilizing our own Department of Water and Sanitation construction unit to address this work, and also to use our own engineering services internally as the PSP to address and fast track the completion of this project as well. Then we're also in the Olifants River Water Resource Development Project. We actually commissioned the Phase 2C, which is the pipeline that runs from the Whip Dam to as far as Steelport, that has been commissioned in February. And now we have to continue to 2D. And that is, funding has been set aside to commence with that work as well, so that we can take the water further as per the integrated program for the entire project. Funding constraints has led us to actually defer the project a little bit as far as the delay is concerned, but furthermore also to deal with the illegal mining that is happening within the earmark servitude where the work has to happen, as well as land matters that has to then deal with that part of the expropriation work that is required to actually take this work forward. But as far as this is concerned, we are reprioritizing funding to continue with 2D and also to procure the land that is required for the servitude to be proclaimed, as well as with our sister department, Minerals Resources, to assist with the illegal mining activities in the area to allow the servitude to be completed. We're also negotiating with the mine, the Kolong mine in the area, to secure the availability for the site so we can take site as soon as possible. We have 2021 as our earmark target date for completion of this phase of the Olifants project. If we continue to the dam safety rehabilitation program, we have four projects that we are busy there with. The one is quite on track and is earmarked for completion, but the three that we have in the presentation, which would be Mariko Bosveld, there is actually a sad situation that we can perhaps describe it in such fashion, that we had appointed a contractor. Unfortunately, the contractor failed completely to actually do the work as we was appointed to do. For more than 9 months, the contractor failed to provide the documentation required legislatively as far as the construction regulations are concerned, amongst others, the environmental compliance as well as the occupational health and safety compliance wasn't provided to us, so we couldn't proceed with that. And when the contract basically came almost to an end, the contractor did not take site as yet, so a decision was taken that it would not be best in the best interest of the project to continue with applying for a variation for an extension and to allow it to continue, because the contractor could not provide any proof of competence to continue then, even though the contractor did provide a good presentation or a bid to actually allow it to be secured procurement. Therefore, we have decided, as far as the rectification initiative is concerned, that our internal contractor will be approached to then continue with the work. Site establishment is earmarked for April 2019, and with the project plan received from construction unit, we see this project to be completed within 6 months. Kalkfontein Dam in the Free State. This dam safety rehabilitation project is basically completed. It's 99% completed. However, there's small work that is required to actually before we can commission the work and regard it as work done, so regarding to rehabilitation of the site and so forth. But this has, due to community strikes, that is linked to the fact that wools to be procured, secure labor at this specific site has caused us to have a little bit of a delay there. But local labor was eventually appointed as recently as the 12th of February, and people are being sent for medical tests at this point in time so that the work can continue. We trust that no more further labor interventions will prevent us from completing this work, and this will be completed by May 2019. Richspray Dam in Ventersdorp, that has also been delayed because of the procurement of the ECO, the environmental officer, that has been causing a delay in that regard, but this is being finalized and is imminent now so that we can continue with that, and we trust that all will go well to complete that work by the 31st of July in 2019. The bucket eradication program, as I said earlier, was presented to the portfolio committee. The honorable members will remember 2 weeks ago we did this presentation. This is just to include it here to make as part of the brief that we were given to actually present today. But we will recall that the internal construction unit, as being presented then, is once again being utilized in this regard to complete 4 of the 6 projects in the Northern Cape. And then, as we know, that the 4 projects that they will be working on are the Griekwastad, Campbell, Marataneng, and Kosdien. And then in the Free State, the department is also in the process of terminating the contract that contractor is on site at that point in time, and the internal construction unit is also taking charge of the 7 projects that require bulk services to allow for the flushing of the toilets or the buckets that have been eradicated where the top structure and the household infrastructure has been put in place, and this would be Fixburg, Senekal, Klokkelaan and Reitz, as well as Arlington, Pietersteyn and Dealsville. Going to the regional bulk infrastructure projects, just as a refresher, we can just also mention that there are different projects, 106 that the acting DJ has mentioned, that categorized as per large 53 mega, 15, and small projects would be 38. And just going into the presentation further, one can just mention that, I think it is already in the presentation. The first project would be the Sebokeng Wastewater Treatment Works. This project has received a lot of media attention due to the fact that spills have occurred due to community dissatisfaction with the project as it has went, and so intervention has taken place there, and the South African Defence Force has came in place to assist with the completion of this project. A budget has been allocated to the South African Defence Force as well, and community unrest have abated, the labour unrest have abated, and there seems to be up until now reasonable progress with the social part of the project in terms of the acceptance of the community, as well as the progress that can be seen with the primary settlement tanks on the site where the army has made a difference up until today. The Polokwane water supply project, this project occurs right in the heart of Polokwane, so the delays that you can expect would be because of the congestion in the area, and to ensure that because the replacement of the asbestos cement pipelines, you basically have to make use of the same trench or the trench next to it, and that has been causing a little bit of delay with the progress of this project. But as be that as it may, there is reasonable progress that is being currently made with the replacement of the asbestos cement pipelines to bring in the new and also the larger pipelines that is being procured in terms of material, the HCPE, as well as the fact that it's also large in diameter to provide for more people as far as the water is concerned. There's also an upgrade of the treatment works as it may be, but the work is being earmarked for completion since the significant progress that is being made there as far as the Polokwane project is concerned. The Mamecha Sikororo project would be a project that has been including an abstraction weir for the raw water abstraction, a 15 megaliter water treatment works that is also being built, as well as a 19 kilometer reticulation pipeline that is being built in that area in Limpopo. Budget shortfalls have caused a delay as in this project, but the proposed solution has been that 70 million has been reallocated to ensure the completion. As far as the project reports that we received, is that there where that has been backfilling has been up to 91%, which actually then means that significant or the large majority of the pipelines that has been done has been backfilled for that matter, even though there was a delay in this project as it stands. The Moche project has been a project that has seen the 15 sub-projects, and this includes a water treatment works enlargement to a capacity of 40 megaliters in a Krubla cell, a new pump station together with pumping mains, and a 10 megaliter reservoir with various gravity pipelines that has been built in that area as well. Progress was slow, and is slow for that matter, due to the fact that there's unresolved dispute between the service provider that was appointed by the implementing agent, who is the district municipality in this regard. There is also extension of time claim that has to be resolved, and the department is involved to and has met with the implementing agent to try to resolve this together with the service provider to ensure that it is being unlocked, and the department will then assist with the fast tracking of issues with regarding procurement as well to ensure that this project is completed as soon as possible. But at this point it is targeted, expected completion date to be in 2021 to do all 15 sub-projects of this project. We also go to the Ratlo bulk water supply, which is now the phase one. This is the upgrading of a water supply system in Northwest, equipping of 20 new boreholes, refurbishing of 12 existing boreholes, and then also including an ion exchange water treatment plant, which is quite advanced because of the fact that some of the boreholes have different quality than others, which means that there's higher nitrates in certain levels, so you're blending the boreholes water into one reservoir, after where you then do the ion exchange treatment to ensure that the water is of better quality. This project, the reservoir is at least at 99%. The reservoir is at least at 99% completion, but currently there's no. Currently there's no activity on site due to the termination of the pipeline contractor, due to non-payment and delays in payment. And what is currently being done is to adjudicate a new contractor is awaiting, and the project completion date is to be revised as soon as the contractor is appointed. The Maribeng bulk water supply phase 2, this is a project that has also seen the upgrading of the raw water supply to the bridge water treatment works, and upgrading of the bulk distribution network. 40 million has been set aside for this project. All phases is basically completed as far as this project is concerned. There is an energy supply challenge that is being faced as to ensure complete operation, especially of the mechanical parts of this project. And 1.6 million for the connection is being targeted to allow Eskom to proceed with the establishment of the energy to that water treatment works there. Mayerton Sebokeng wastewater treatment works in Gauteng. The project is about 89% completed, but due to community unrest as well, it posed a risk to the timely completion of the project. And the department, especially through our Gauteng regional office, we have been constantly engaging with the relevant stakeholders to address the community's demands to allow the project to continue towards completion. And then also in the Western Cape, we have the Stellenbosch Wastewater Treatment Works. This is the element of co-funding that has been a big challenge to the progress of the MWIC program, where and of the project where we need to require co-funding from municipalities. When the municipalities can't co-fund, like the instance here of Stellenbosch, where they've exhausted their co-funding capability, the project is stalled to allow then the municipality to come to the point where they can source the co-funding to allow the completion of the project. The municipality, however, has indicated to the municipality, to the department in this regard, that they will, in the next financial year, as in starting their financial year in June, starting 1920 financial year, they will have this funding available to allow this complete the project to come to a completion. Honourable Chair, that would be the conclusion of the projects, even though, as you would understand, there's 106 projects that's currently in the domain within ARBIC, the ARBIC unit. But these would be the projects that has been that was expected to be completed at this point in time. And let me just get the figures for you. Even though we have 92 projects under construction at this point in time, these are the projects that have been unduly delayed that we have presented, and I trust that that will be suffice at this point in time. Thank you.
Any further additions?
Chair, I just want to mention that in addition to the interventions that are covered in the presentation, that Cabinet has directed that a rapid response team be established. We are part of that rapid response team that is serving under the interministerial task team on service delivery. We are finalizing the modalities. So part of the projects that we see here that have challenges will be part of what we will be joining forces under that rapid response unit team with, so that we realize the water record there and we can quickly finalize or complete this project.
Any addition from the bill? I'll note your hand, James.
Sorry, Chairperson, committee members, I think there will be a presentation that was prepared from the panel. I do not know that you wish us to proceed with the presentation at the current moment or for later after the questions have been taken.
It must come in now.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honourable members. I do note that there was a concern raised on the issue of acting. Before the presentation starts, I would like the committee to note that the Chairperson of Lefela North and Water was soon suspended by the Minister, pending the investigation that were allegation of improper act on behalf of the Chairperson. And that's hence the Minister has actually appointed acting Chairperson, Mr. Matsepe, to act as a Chairperson. And in our last board meeting, there was a notification that was prepared as well to the committee, but before we came here, I do not think that the letter has already reached the committee itself, but there was a decision that such letter must reach the committee on update as to what is actually transpiring in that regard. So I just like to note that, and then I will leave it now to the CE to start the presentation. If there's no question, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. On the previous presentation, I have a question on slide 18.
Just hang on, Mr. Khair. I thought you'd have something to say on the...
No.
Chairperson.
Okay, fine. Then I'll
stand. Okay, on the opening remarks. Okay.
Yeah. No, thank you. Thank you very much. Yabona lana siyadlala lo. Nidlala ngathi. You know, you have taken right from your national department what you're doing. And this is just another story, dear. It's another story, it's a story, this one. That we have now raised a concern. Now we are told there's somebody has been suspended, and there was one that has been taken into act, and now we are acting on the acting. Now it's very, it's comedian, it's a comedy that you are putting to us. And you also go forth and say there was a letter that was prepared. You took a decision. To us, we don't even know that decision. The decision that you took, it did not even implement it. I don't know, maybe other members did get, through you, Chair, I will ask Madam, whether they got any letter from you. You see, I can see by the shake of the head of the hand that your decisions, your own decisions from the board that you have taken, you could not even implement. How do we trust you? You are going to even implement what you are even going to present here. If you fail to implement your own decision that you have taken, send a letter to the committee so that they should be knowing nothing is happening. You see, maybe it's a question of undermining these members or this committee, or rather parliament as a whole, taking it from what I've earlier said. You see. So, Mina, I don't take it kindly, Chairperson. I feel we are very much undermined by the whole lot. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Through you, before I started, I said that we would also like
you
to
ask for letter. You can talk.
Oh, thank you, Chair. Before I said, we actually apologize for that brief not coming through because we have been in contact with the ministerial office. And we do apologize for miscommunication in that regard. I just felt it that I have to report this, that other members is also noted in here to understand the reason behind the issue that there is a suspension of the chairperson of the board, and that hence, before you also ask why people are acting, that it's also cleared up. So it's not out of disrespect that the letter is still also coming through. I just asked the CE whether that letter was already sent, but it looks like it was not sent. I think there were still things that were being cleared as well. But I think that will. I think the communication here today is that there is a suspension of the chairperson from the minister, just to clear up that if those questions arise, that it is actually very clear that there is an acting chairperson in place. Thank you.
The reason why Mr. Mgun is raising the issue that he's raising, Deputy Minister, frankly, this is a matter that the Minister must always take it upon himself to keep this Committee of Parliament posted on any major decisions that shall have been taken in any of the entities that the department has as part of its own overseeing body, that is now the ministry or the department. I'm sitting here thinking as to who then is expected to draft that letter. It obviously cannot be yourselves as the Lebella Northern Water Board. I'm just imagining the acting chair writing that letter. I am now the new chair who is acting. Kind of a scenario. It does not sit well. Reason why this matter is raised is that Maria gets confused. She's supposed to write a letter to Lebella Northern Water Board. to rise to Chief Chivase. And she gets to be told by Lepelle Northern Water Board, no, 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 the chair has been suspended. She then has to come back to me. Did you understand the inconvenience? It goes back to the professionalism, in this case, in your office, Deputy Minister. The Minister is expected to be the one that is supposed to keep us posted as Parliament. If there is to be a DG suspended, if there is to be a DDG suspended, any of those kinds of developments, it can only be the Minister that writes to Parliament indicating that there are these developments, so that we get to know in future as to how we then deal with the matters. She doesn't have to be wandering all over, which is what she had to go through. That's the context in which Mr. Mngoni is raising the issue. It may not necessarily be your issue or your matter to look into, but I take it squarely on the doorstep of the Minister. Cannot even be their DG. So that's the issue I'm trying to raise. Am I correct, Mr. Zona?
The chair is spot on. We may put it so that they get that fact, but I think, to be honest and fair, the office of the Minister was supposed to inform us, not anybody else. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, it's fine. We can then move.
Thank you, Chair. For now, I'll leave it to the CE to also give update on the presentation that was made from Lepelle Northern Water. Thank you, Honourable Members. Thank you, Chair.
Do we have it? Oh, yeah, okay. I saw it. Thanks.
Thanks, Chair, Honourable Members, and Deputy Minister. Once again, good morning. I'm going to take you through a few slides in relation to the progress made in relation to Guyana intervention and the recovery plans around it. And before I take you through the recovery plan, I would want to put a factual context of what has transpired, which then led to us talking to recovery now. It is a common cause that we have awarded LTE as the main service provider on a 10 key pages to run this project. So around August last year, LTE and its main service provider, being Katu, complained about delays in relation to payments. Their complaint resulted in them abandoning the site. So as they abandoned the site, the project was already at 92% completion. We then entered into a series of negotiations with them to go back on site. And as part of those series of negotiations, we had to pay them what is due to them. But to our dismay and shock, they have imposed further conditions which they demanded we have to meet before they can resume the site. And those conditions in the main resulted or were in relation to the following. One, that they said we should pay them 86 million for standing time, which we refused because PFMA says it's wasteful. Number two, they demanded that we must guarantee in writing that there will be additional 400 to 600 million outside the four corners of the scope of the contract. So in law, once you impose conditions that are impossible for the other party to the contract to bear with, that on its own amounts to repudiation, meaning by acting in a manner that evinces the basis to no longer be bound by the contract. So on those grounds, we terminated the relationship. Now we are at the stage where we had to come up with the measures to take the project to completion, hence the recovery. So in taking it to completion, the minister issued a directive to Lebelle to continue with the work, but this time around we had to continue within the confines of the project implementation model, which I believe he has set with this August House. Just at a high level, the silent elements of that project implementation model talks to the department having to use and exhaust its internal capacity before it can go out. So currently we have appointed Construction North, which is the construction unit of the department, to continue with the work. That is where we are. A number of activities that we have embarked upon, which are way administrative, are on slide number 3. The one that I would want to draw members' attention on, which relates to the construction approach that the minister has come up with, is the establishment of community-based project oversight committee, which includes the traditional leaders in the area, the business forums that exist there, the water forum, and the councillors from both municipalities, being Mobane and Giyane. This structure is going to work very closely with the implementing agent and the department to deliver this project. What we are anticipating at the end of the day, Chair, is that once we finish and hand over the infrastructure, there should be a collective ownership of the infrastructure, not only by the municipalities, but everybody resident in those two municipalities, including the traditional leadership and the religious community. We have completed the project business plan. Since Construction North has taken over, of the 8 pipelines which LTE was working on, 3 are already connected. Currently we are testing and checking all the leaks. Very soon we will be commissioning. They are also doing some assessment on the boreholes that were vandalized, and some of which Katu could not complete. On slide number 5, Chair, we are indicating the project governance mechanism and how these structures would be meeting as they discharge their functions. You would have your site progress meetings taking place fortnightly, technical progress meeting taking place monthly, political steering committee meetings comprising of LNW Board, Department of Water and Sanitation, and Mobane District Municipality. It will be convened by the Executive Mayor of Mobane on a monthly basis. Then there will be a project steering committee, which would comprise DWS, Lebelle, Coctown, Mobane, Premier's Office, the Presidency, and SALGA. It will be meeting monthly. There will be Giyane Water and Sanitation Advisory Council, which I have already made mention of, a broad community representative structure. which will be taking place every second month. And on a fortnight basis, we'll be reporting to the minister the progress. So on the host of the challenges that we are raising, the obvious one is the need to fast track the project to conclusion, and to this extent we are raising it simply within the context of the committee appreciating that there may be a need to conduct effective oversight in relation to how are we faring on this project, and the need for the project to continue to phase two, which in the main this phase two is about reticulation and is the municipal responsibility. We've also had an incident, Chair, as you have rightfully raised it in your opening remarks, in relation to the death of a six-year-old Mutongo Nsubu, who died as a result of one of the 174 open trenches which were in the area. Currently, as we are speaking, post this death and post the construction not taking site, all these trenches are closed. The government representatives, as led by the executive mayor of Mopani, the premier and the minister, respectively, have passed their condolences to the family, and they've physically gone there. We have helped the family in relation to funeral arrangements, and currently we are constantly in touch with them in relation to their intention to take legal action against the contractors who left the trenches open. The last but one slide, Chair, we are indicating the pipeline network. This is the pipeline network in relation to the 8 pipes that we are working on, which once completed will be feeding not less than 55 villages in the whole of Giyane. I've already made mention of the fact that of these 8, 3 are already connected to the reservoirs. 5, we are still working on them through the construction north. Our timelines is that by August, the work on the pipeline should be completed. By April, the work on the boreholes should be completed. So that will be all from me, Chair. And before I can rest my case, I would want to comment, if the Chair allows, in relation to Bolokwane project. Thanks a lot, Chair. My colleague Manas made mention of the reticulation phase of the project which is implemented by Bolokwane. What Bolokwane is doing, it is replacing the asbestos reticulation network, which was installed way back in 1974. There is still a bulk portion which the department and the Libelle have to work on, so that once Bolokwane finishes its reticulation network, because now they are even working on enlarged AC pipes, we should be able to fit in with the bulk, because our bulk infrastructure is also dilapidated. It was installed way back in 1974 when we pumped water, the pipe burst all over. So we've been having a funding problem. Currently we are locked up in the discussion with DBSA so that we can get assistance to work on this infrastructure, bulk infrastructure that would supply water to Polokwane. So that is where we are, Chair, and thanks a lot.
And what was your role personally in 1974 in this pipe?
I think my parents were still praying that I should be born.
Thank you.
explain it then.
Okay, you will explain it one day. Members, I think that is, you don't want to say any closing remarks, Deputy Minister?
Chair, I'd like to say a lot has been done. We've been here before, and some of the projects the committee presented, most of them. And I think what we need to do now is to make sure that the way forward is done. And also, I'm glad to hear that also the trenches that were opened are now closed, and which will mean we don't expect any deaths. And I do want to say we are looking forward to make sure that whatever you need from us, it will be done. Lastly, Chair, I noted two issues that you raised. The issue of acting officials within the department and also in our entities. And I think you're right by saying, members and honorable members are right by saying you should be informed. It's something that I will take it up to the minister, and it will be corrected as soon as possible. And I also want to thank the Lipele. It's not closing remarks, Chair, but I know that they've worked hard to make sure that it's actually, I can see that there's work done, and I will rely on your questions, and until they are ready, all of them, to answer any questions. Thank you, Chair.
The 92 projects you spoke about, and then of course cited but a few of those where there are delays, constraints of funding, and so on and so forth. Could those be countrywide 92 projects, or are they confined somewhere else?
Throughout the country.
Okay. I thought you'd also tell us as to, I understand the strikes as the cause for delay, but having to present such a scenario that talks to delays in most of the instances, they talk to standing time, and that's costly. So there is something that is not done properly, that you are to talk about delays. You know, I've counted a few of those delays as reasons why, for whatever reason, whether it's strike or there's no money, but the sum total of that talks to cost. And that cost can be monetary, and that cost can be social, and that cost can be political. So something is not done right in the department, whether it has to do with consultation, or whether it's got to do with planning. I tell you that that consultation shall form part of that planning. At the end of the day, when having to engage in such a project, especially also that involves funding, planning at the helm becomes the major issue. You cannot get into any specific project without having planned for it. Whether it has to do with funding or whether it has to do with consultation, those are the details that form part of that planning. For me, it is supposed to be as simple as that. Otherwise, you're going to be found wanting from time to time, and it can be costly. if you can respond to such a comment, Mr. Basson.
Before I ask my question,
Dr. Kekana noted, Mr. Zwane noted.
Before I ask my question, I just want the department to just explain quickly again on the Maribeng project. I don't want to ask a question if I misunderstood you. Explain to me where the project is, what's the cost of the first phase. The first module is 20 megalitres. What's the cost on that? Because I've got a letter here that differs, a parliamentary question I've asked on that project. So please, before I ask my question, I want them to repeat the Maribeng project. Thank you.
Dr. Kekan. Sorry, ma'am. I'm having Mrs. Kekan, Sorry about that.
Okay. Well, thanks for the presentation that we have just received. I'll zoom straight to this presentation, Chair. Let me start at the back with the one in the project. We speak about the unfinished project. And I don't know how long was this project going. So maybe if you can be given an explanation as to how long this project had been going and what was the problem. That's number one. We normally read in the papers that in Kiani, contractors were escalating prices. The project started with a certain amount. It has now gone climbing the mountain. So how did the owners go? How the program went or gone in terms of correcting that escalation? I'm just wondering, in terms of trenches that were open, because normally when you open the trench, we put up some danger something, danger plates, danger fence, danger, there were no such things. Why there were no such things for the first place? Surrounding that particular trenches, especially in the villages, because our children, when they see a hole or a sand, they usually go there and play. They don't see it as danger. But if there is something showing them there is danger here, that would be better in avoiding the same problem that has been seen when the young man was thrown into that particular trench. The other problem, the other challenge that I'm having, Chair, is in terms of the project. Seemingly it is pulling very slowly. I don't understand what is the reason why pulling very so slowly, seemingly there is a hardness of some kind. What is this really make the project to pull hard instead of pulling softly? So are in terms of the acting positions, Chair? This is as well touching the department partly, because the department is run by actings. In my view, Chair, the issue of acting seemingly is the one that caused problems in the department not to move. Can we get exactly when are they be ready to appoint in the various positions that they that are available in a department. And then it comes down, disseminate down to the water ports as well. Because if you've got acting in the department, what do we expect at the grassroots level to be the same? So we have a request and answer as to why and how and when are they going to appoint, starting from the department to the very water boards. In the last year, we requested the plan of the department, but since now, it's not forthcoming. We requested the plan of packet eradication. We requested the plan of how these projects are going to be resolved, but I didn't see any plan till this date. I don't know whether there are challenges. If there are challenges, what are those challenges? The last one, Chair, that I wanted to raise, I think in the managerial positions, there is no working relationship. Somebody is either undermining others or not sabotaging others. So there is that kind of working relationship that makes the department not to move. So my analysis tells me that if the department doesn't have a person who leads it properly, such challenges will emanate. Because the department, it seems to me, is at loose. So let's tighten up the department in the administration position so that it becomes tight. And then maybe we'll see what will be the problem. And then we'll be able to undertake the responsibility of each and every person who is in the position. So these are a few clarities I wanted to.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Silvana?
No, Chair, let's appreciate the two presentations. And I wish to say that the delays and the reasons as they are given to me is an issue of how the process plan was thrown, because my knowledge of the process plan says you include also in your process plan those issues which will hamper progress, like your strikes, like your budgeting. That is why you should say taking in consideration these issues. This is the completion date we think would be able to finish the project. So it should not be normal that after the process plan has been completed by you, then you come back and say we couldn't achieve the completion of the project on this particular date, and you state the obvious. I mean, with your experience, you must know that in any project there is a possibility of strikes. And as you give us your process plan, my simple assumption is that it takes also into consideration those issues.
So I wish to say we should not accept the reasons as given here of not completing on time, because to me the obvious reason that should be there in the process plan. The second presentation, I heard the presenter saying, kept on saying, page 2, slides 2, 3, and I was really struggling to see those page 2, 3, 4, 5. And my request will be, next time as you come back, please number your pages. It makes things easier for everybody. The steps taken to remedy the issue of the trenches that were left open to me, Chair, are not sufficient. If you came here and said the contractor or the person who was responsible for monitoring these trenches has been suspended or removed from their position, I would have gladly accepted that. Because it must not be a norm that a life of a human being is that cheap. It should not be a norm that we should lose lives, then we think going to open a case is sufficient and the contractor must continue. If it was their work to see that all these trenches are looked after and they are closed and they have not done that, if I were in your position, I would have terminated that contract to show seriousness in terms of the life of this human being that has been lost. I wish to get a response, Chair, on why was LTA not paid? Because the presenter says they had to leave the work at 92% because of non-payment. And there were negotiations then for them to come back. I mean, if we are efficient, why would we not pay people if we have money and wait for people to go out of the site and start negotiating? Because sitting here as a person, I'm thinking of other many reasons why were they not paid, which I do not really want to speak to. But you opening that space for people to say, but if you are professional and efficient, and you wanted this project to be completed on time, why did you not do the simplest of paying people having done their work properly, if there are no agendas in not paying them? I think those are the questions that I really wanted to raise. Thank you, Chair.
Mrs. Kaula.
Ngibonge Hlalo. Okwakhe ngisezu ukukhuluma kakhulu okunye sebengichaze sebeshilo zakwethu. Mina wami umbuzo nje ulana kulo mnumzana umhlongo lona ogcine ebulawa umgodi obukade ushiwe i-contract. Umbuzo uthi, ngabe ma ngabe kuzongena i-contract esayithini zosebenza, niyayibheka yini first ukuthi iyakwazi umsebenzi? Niyawubheka ni masesayithini ukuthi iwenza kanjani umsebenzi wayo na? ngamanye amazwi lokhu enikuthini nokumonitha ukuze balekele lezi zinto ezenzakalayo ngoba bona nje kuyimanje uma ngase nginitshele ngithi kunaba la nina nisakhuluma ngegiyani lana enibone khona noma lanizwe khona ukuthi kunomuntu ogcine elahlekelwa umphefumulo wakhe ezinye iy'ndawo nizazi ii-contracts zonke ngikhumbula ngelilanga ngikhuluma ngalo abanje abenza itamko ukuthi bayishiya ezikhamisile itamko community amament hall ubudedengu lakhe kuyimanje laphaya futhi e-ward 26 emajuba endaweni ekuthiwa isenyukile ngifice inkinga efana exactly nale iy'ngane zalo aphayana kuthiwa kunemigodi eyafika yambiwa zii-contract hlala iwu-3 lo mgodi lezi ngane emazi esikoleni seyiphelezelwa abazali ngihambile ngayobheka nembumbi yenhlabathi engaka umgodi omkhulu embiwambiwa inhlabathi eshiyo khona lana athi khona umhlonisho oseduze kwami iy'ngane zethu uma yibona into laphayana mhlawumbe ziyaona kuyodlala lezi ngane ziyagibela kuleya nto into engiyibone Saturday lesisuka kuyona udokuza ngithiwa Saturday last week ngifuna ukwazi-ke ukuthi ngempelampela ngabe ikhona endlane nenithathe khona lezi contract nihlale phansi nazo nitshele ukuthi it's not about imali lesuke zizoyithatha kufuneka zenze sho ukuthi zibhekelele nomphakathi safety khona lana ngithinta khona nge-danger tape yabona le danger tape nami ngiyayazi ukuthi ibalulekile kodwa ngifuna ukunitshela sihlalo wami abayiyenzi la nto ey'ndaweni zabantu enye into engiphatha kambi engiye ngizibuze ukuthi thina abantu abamnyama senzani kufana noma begqumba-ke lo mgodi yabo kunedaska mhlawumbe azofaka amapayipi nansi imizi yabantu abanendaba nakuthi lowa muntu uzophuma kanjani yena ozozayibonelela kanti kufanele ngabe bakhona into abazomfakela yona akazi ukuwena ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi niyazimonitheni zonke lezo zinto na ngikhuluma ngani ngemajuba imajuba Newcastle okunye okungiphatha kambi udaba njengosasengusho angithi imali niyakhumbula siyakuma-election kunezinto esizoyibuzwa abantu sifuna impendulo ngazo yabona nje lapha yona sisegiyane saya khona sathola iy'nkinga zamabhoholi imigodi embiwe kwezinye indawo kwenye indawo thole ukuthi akafakiwe kwenye indawo uthole afakiwe lamabhoholi but i-most iningi lawo alinawo amanzi ngifuna ukubuza ukuthi senihambile nayibheka le nto nayilungise ngenzela ukushaya ngidlule enandoni sizokhumbula isihlalo kunomphakathi from sifikile la iParliament from 2014 owawukhala ukuthi wawukade lapha wakhile wamuva khona kwakhiwa idamu okwasuka omkhulu umsindo labo baba ngithi sebeze bazisihlasela kacuku basihlasela sisejobek baphinda futhi sasinabo sigcina nabo ekelokhuzeni khona lukulanda egiyana abakhala ukuthi izindlu zabo ziyakhekha nabakhelwa zona abangayitholanga ngcwephezela la kwagcina sekuvela ukuthi ikhona imali eyayi-37,000 okufanele banxashezelwe ngayo ngifuna ukwazi lezo mali sebanikwa yini zonke lezi nkinga esiyibone lapha amabhoholi angafe nangomfula osuka lapha ezz2 wehle njalo uye emalamulela ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi yenze njani indaba yawo ngoba ekugcineni yizinto zonke lezi abazosibuza zona ngoba thina sihlala nabo phansi siyadeploya thothi wena manje kuthiwa shone i-Eastern Cape ibazosibuza zonke lezo zinto uthi iy'nkinga esakhala ngazo nenzeni manje sizomthemba kanjani isibe zingakayisolo ngicela ningitsheleke lapho zonke lezi zinto nithini ngazo Deputy Minister.
Ich habe briefly, Chair, if I may briefly summarize what Ms. Taula has been saying. I wanted to know on the issue of this Mr. Songo, that before you hire out the contracts, do you sit with them? Do you look at them as to how they work? And do you also do what they what you call monitoring to check if they are not committing any faults and mistakes? Do you ensure that they do what they are supposed to do? If you you are currently talking about the issue of Giyani, where Mr. Mhlongo has since passed on, there are a lot of other places that you do not know about. I was at last weekend, on Saturday, I was at 126 at Majuba in Newcastle. There was also a lot of trenches there. I had to go see the place. There are heaps of soil where children also dangerously go play there because there is no red tape or danger tapes that has been put in such places. I'd also ask that now, since we are heading towards the election, there are there is an issue of people who are from Nandoni who were moved, and they've been crying about this issue since 2014. They have they were asking, and then they stated that the houses that they had been that had been built for them were cracking, and they had not been compensated. All these things people will ask from us. They will inquire from us as we are heading to the elections. Thank you.
Noted, Mrs. Makhaban and Mr. Mguni. I don't know if Mr. Hugo, sorry. Mr. Hugo?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to find out, maybe the department or the PLA will assist in terms of, I think the president made announcement in terms of the investigation into this Giyani project by the SIU. How is progress, or do they know anything? And how much was paid to LTE, and how much can be recovered of the money because of inflation or inflating prices of this project? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. About the unfinished project, I think, Chairperson, the main challenge is the one that you touched on your introduction. The issue of filling or vacant post. To me, it's like the challenges that are there or that has been stipulated in this report. It's mostly happened because of poor planning. That's the reason I'm putting in the issue of vacant posts. If the department, if they can try and make sure that they appoint or fill those critical posts like the DG and the CFO, maybe some of the things may change in the department. On slide number 7, paragraph number 1, they did mention the issue of the expiry of an external contractor before started to work. How come was that happen? How was the appointment done? You appoint somebody, the person doesn't bother even to do something on the side until the expiry date. I don't understand that one. On the issues of the Giyani project, I just want to align myself with the DM. The lot has been done for now. There were a lot of challenges. It's just unfortunate that some of the issues have been corrected after the unforeseen circumstances. But immediately after that incident of that 6-year-old child, the intervention was fast. It is true that all the pits or the holes has been closed. I've seen them. I've given myself to time to go village by village. I've seen that. I've witnessed it. Those boreholes have been filled up. Chairperson, you did mention the issue of tail end. I think Giani project must be one of the projects that as a portfolio committee should say is our legacy. I just want to appeal to the department and Lebelle that I think for us to be seen as the portfolio committee did our oversight well. Really, we need to have something at hand to say, during our time there is this that we did. So if you can push and make sure that the end project come to an end like you presented, CE, that by April, you think that project will be done. It's not going to be good to us as the portfolio committee, but also to the communities that were since failing to get water. So for the fifth parliament water and sanitation portfolio committee, if really you can make sure that that project, DM, you finished it and the people of Guyana get water, then we'll be having something to show, and even the department will be having something to say that during the fifth parliament we did this. Thanks, Chairperson.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I also would like to welcome the and appreciate the two presentations. And from what I've seen and heard, you know, the minister has been briefing us on the project of Lipen. I must be saying, acting chairperson, see, I think as far as I've heard, if you can keep up and push, as the minister has been saying, I think the member, our member here next to me, has just said that I will very much be appreciative of the effort. You know, we're not happy previously, but now there's something, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. But my question will be on both you, Lipelle, and the department, on the targets that you have set. One member spoke about you putting some conditions, to strikes and so forth. Of the days that you have put the target date, you know, when you say target, you mean on the spot. When they say target the heart, you cannot shoot the eye and kill the person. No, I already killed her. You said you wanted the heart. It's just on the spot. Our experiences here is that no, people will be keeping target, will be writing target, but they did not keep them. Are you telling this committee, this parliament, that the days that we have put there, the 30th, I think for you better, that's the date, exact date, taking into consideration all the conditions of challenges that may come in, are these the date that we are putting? Similarly to your department. You know, we have been shifting. When the time comes, more especially the department, they shift. Now we did not even know when you are going to finish the BEP, bucket eradication program. We're not even sure. But we'll tell you that they can say, no, by this time, boreholes will be repaired. Come strikes, come rain, come sunshine. Want to find problem. They look like, some of the projects, yeah, they look like new, more especially dependent. They are like new. We know that there's been a contract. But do we have funds available? Because they will come again and say, you know the problem that we did not finish this project, right? No, our thoughts were that we want to finish it by the 30th. But now the issue of funds, they locked us in. Do we have funds? I tell this committee, we have got funds. some of the members will be here, even those who are not there, will still, as former honorable members, will still have the right to ask you, as former. And apart from that, you know, I hear my members are talking about vacant acting. It might happen that you are putting, we are placing those posts for us. We are coming and occupy those posts. You might not be knowing. You see, you will see me there. Then I will be asking you the same question again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Directly in the administration now, not in politics. Department, we have spoken about the contract has lapsed in March 2018. Now we are almost 11 to 12 months after that contract has lapsed in Senegal. And you are telling us that you still have a problem of, or you have written to these people, you understand, indicating that no, their contract is coming to an end. How do you write the person that the contract comes to end? Already it has ended, March 2018. It's a question of you that you should have terminated the contract. I mean, I understand what are you talking about here. I had many ideas in that report. The contract lapsed 2018 March, but they're indicating that you have indicated them to them that the contract is coming to an end. How do you do that? Because already it has ended up. Lipele, can you tell me both and the CE? What negative impact, the positive impact of ending the contract? I know now you are pushing, you are doing very well. But what is the negative impact thereafter? Because you have ended the contract of LET. You see, what will be the financial impact, the legality of doing that? One time when we visited you that side, you indicated to us that, you know, there's a problem here. When the contract is not doing its work now, we've got a duty to pay them for just sitting. That's what you indicated in that one. You remember that? I don't know whether you still remember. You see, our minds can just quickly rewind. And then you said, no, LTE has to be paid for not doing the work. And now you are saying, LTE wants money for the work they did not do, they were not doing the work. How do we balance the two? What were the conditions of the contract when the problem sits with you, it does not sit with the contractor? What are your conditions in terms of payment, so that we can check on the issues? Hey, DM, you know, when I say DM, I want your attention, so you look directly at me. Yeah. It's nice when you are sitting like this, and then, yeah. Anyway, I'm looking at the issue of the South African Defence Force. They are doing the work there. Yeah, it's Madiben. It's Madiben. Yeah. Is it Madiben? Yeah. I don't know. What is the arrangement, the conditions thereof? There? Because I've heard through the vines, now they need money from the... It's almost 2 million or 200 million. They need money from the department. What were the conditions? Are you prepared? Do you have any money to pay them? Because the problem is, you will come now. I've taken from somebody some this, and that is why that target was not met. What were the conditions? And do we have that money to pay? If you have, hey, where did you get it? Thank you very much.
Thanks for those wonderful questions and inputs. You want your last share bite before the department comes in?
Jay, before I ask the question, I want them to explain to me that, and then I also would like to ask a question on the Madiben water purification plant.
Okay, Mr. Khair.
Thank you, Chair. With regard to the unfinished project on slide number 18, the Raklo phase at Lakuli,
The NDA says as a result of non-payment delays, that's why no activity is happening there. I'd just like more information about that. Why was there no payment, non-payment and delays in payment? Just explanation on that, page 18 or slide 18. Thank you. Chair, I ask that question because we frequently hear that complaint from contractors that the department is slow on paying, not just this department, but many other departments. And that is something we must try and root out. If we have a contractor who must do a job for us, we must pay in time. I just want to make sure just find out what the reasons of this delay is.
Let's get to hear from Lipelle now that you do have your directive as of December last year. I hear you talk about all these other community-based structures. I'm not sure if I understand it. I understand that process to be meaning that this then becomes your project management team. And then the construction unit being the contractor. Inherent in that question is who then becomes the project manager? You do not have your designer on site. Contract has come to an end. I'm just trying to understand the entire value chain in the scheme of things. Then the last two questions is very simple. I do not hear Deputy Minister. I asked a question, simple question, as to whether is, I'm talking about 92 projects here. These are now countrywide. I did not hear anything mentioned about Ken William Dam. I did not hear anything mentioned about Mzimbugu Dam. And from what I hear, there's a lot of activity going on there. And equally, those are two unfinished projects. Those would be the simple ones. If we can just go through those myriad questions, and then we come back if you still do have time to further questions. Noted your point, Mr. Baswan. Maybe how we might wish to deal with it. Let's just respond to Mr. Basson's question directly, and perhaps that's because my understanding from what he's raising is that he's got his own follow-up question, and the real question shall then emerge, and then we deal with all of them at once. Okay, can we follow that approach? Deputy Minister.
The question is asked, and majority of questions that are asked are directed to officials, because the delay of not paying contractors, it's their work. And I would want, if possible, the acting DG to answer Honorable Song, and then I'll come after that for other questions. Thank you.
So my understanding is that you would like us to respond to the questions from Mr. Basson first on Madiba. Okay, then.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Basson, the question you posed was what is the status of the phases as it is, if I recall you correctly.
Yeah.
Phase 1 was completed in 2014 November, 100%, which was the general refurbishment of the water treatment works. Phase 2A was then also the upgrading and the emergency refurbishment was then identified. That was also completed and is 100% phase 2A. And then phase 2B, as far as electrical works are concerned, and as part of the mechanical works, that is at 77% completion at this point in time. The expenditure that you've asked as that I have at this point in time is 69.3 million of the 127 million that was allocated in this financial year.
Chairperson, can I then ask the questions? Just confirm the 2A is a 20 megalitre upgrade. And then electricity portion is on the 20 megalitre upgrade, that is 77% completion.
Yes, that's correct.
Chairperson, unfortunately for them, I stay in Maribeng. I visit that plant twice a month. I've been there last week. Phase 2A. Completion. No, it's not completed. It stands on more or less 70 to 80% completion. The 20 megalitre upgrade is not completed. They say that it will be completed. It will be completed by December this year if the department pays the implementing agent that would pay the contractors. Now, Che, to give you an idea, we talk about the Giani project. This is the biggest concern, and it's been raised here. This is
and the implementing agent, the assumption is being Mahalis.
It is Mahalis.
Okay.
The minister appointed on the 8th of April 2015, the minister appointed Mahalis as the implementing agent. There's no co-funding involved in this whole project. Let me upfront say this, because that's 9 out of 10 times the department says that, you know, but I'm waiting for the co-funding like in Stellenbosch. There's no co-funding. Here's my question that I've asked on the 26th of February 2016. This project would have been completed, the first phase, or then let's say 2A, would have been completed in July 2016. We're in 2019. It's on 80%. You're correct on the electricity, will also be completed by December. Now, see, that is just to up the capacity from 60 megalitres to 80 megalitres. Now the problem lies that the quality of the water of the Krokodil River coming from Hartbeespoort Dam is of such nature that the next phase, the next module, is to clean the water with ozone. That's still not on the table. I need to know, is there funding for that? Because it doesn't help the community. You upgrade the plant from 60 to 80. As the plant stands now, it cannot clean the water. They throw away 20% of their water on backwashes because the quality, they can't deal with the quality. The plant's not designed when it was built in the 70s to deal with that. So you need to get ozone and I'm not sure. But the fact is, now we've got this 80, we must get water in Lake Lebile. Those people had water 5 years ago. Running water in their houses. Flushing toilets in their houses. There's nothing. See, there's nothing. Because the pipeline is too small to transport the water from the purification plant to Letlebile. There's 100,000 people staying there. Most of those people now don't have water. There's no plan to put another pipeline in. Not yet. The plant will be completed. There's additional water. Forget about the quality. There will be additional water. Going where? Not going to the community that needs the water. Yes, Bridgetown will have water and Damons will have water because those pipelines are sufficient. But the reason why this plant was built or upgraded
is to give to communities that's far away from Brits additional water or give them water. There's no pipeline. You can only put so much water through a pipe. Don't tie and force water. You will have pipe breakages and everything. And yet we sit with a situation, you don't pay Magalies. Tell us how much money you owe Magalies. Because that is the reason why this project is being delayed. Should have been completed in 2016. We're now in 2019. The completion of these phases will be in December. At what cost? What is this costing the ratepayers more money because it's insufficient payment by this department to whoever they appoint? And then we sit and we struggle and we've got to pick this fight with the communities why there is no water whilst the minister approves this project. But she knows, and I'm talking a previous minister, she knows she doesn't have the funding to do this, but she approves it, they kickstart it, the people are happy, the project's on its go, on the go, but there's no water. The time frames has been 2016, now it's going to be December, just to complete this. So this is an 800 million rand project. They need to do a second phase, where they need to upgrade another 20 megalitres, build more reservoirs. Maribeng's water purification plant must supply 500,000 people with water. And we get this problem of not payment. We start, it's a kickstart project. We start the project, we work for 3 months, the money is clogged, and then we wait for another money. And so we've delayed this project now for 2 years. 2 years because no money is made available. And the planning is poor. I'm telling you, the planning is poor. What does it help us? You buy a brand new car, a beautiful car, a million rand car, but you don't have 5 rand to put petrol in this car. It will just stand there. And it's exactly what happens with this purification plant. When it's completed, you tell the people in the community, now we can put more tankers on the road to give you water, because there's more water, but they still don't have water in their pipes. And they must sort this out, Chair. We can't go on day after day. All these projects, they've got a track record in this department of delaying a project. I haven't heard of a project that completed on time. I haven't heard about it. It's either a year late or 2 years late, or it will never complete. And that makes us frustrated with this department. I hope, Chairperson, I really, really hope, and that the construction unit, if we can sort out the payment problem, because that eventually is the same problem. It's a payment problem. If you can't pay the people, jobs won't go forward. We won't see progress in the country. You've mentioned it, Ken William Dam. Did they sort out the problem we discussed 2 weeks ago on how they would, tender processes, or your, what do you call it, procurement processes. Is that thing sorted out? The minister said that Friday, Wednesday said that Friday we'll complete this, we'll get this in the bed. You see, Chair, we put them on the spot. The minister made 300 million rand available, the minister said they've spent 165 million rand on that in this financial year. There was 300 million. But because of the procurement processes, that's administrative. It's not that there's not money, it's administrative. Someone is sabotaging this department within. And that is the problem that we need to sort out. We cannot go forward where departments by officials are sabotaged. Easy stuff like procurement policies, they can't sort out, so we can't spend the money. And that, Chairperson, is not a saving for the department. That's criminal. That's criminal if money was made available to give services to the people and it's not been given, and they say, we're 202 billion rand in 1 year we didn't spend. Why? because we were not sure whether municipalities could spend that money. And then we were told, Chairperson, quantity surveyors, we're going to appoint 10 quantity surveyors to go and check that. Didn't happen, Chairperson. We must get the act together. Otherwise, you know, maybe we must get the Department of Defense to take this thing over and see whether we can't get a better deal for the people of South Africa. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, let's allow the department just to conclude on its responses to all the questions raised. Questions raised from Dr. Gabini, Mr. Zwane, Mam Kaula, and the rest of the other members. Let's get all the questions responded to.
Chair, let me answer those that are directed to ministry, and some are directed to officials. And CFO, I'm happy he is here to answer the questions of delay in terms of payments of projects. I want to start by the question asked concerning Army, whether we do have the money to pay the Army. I must say, Chair, in this meeting that it becomes very difficult when a municipality takes decision without the minister knowing, because that decision, we saw it on TV even ourselves, and it was never discussed by the department, the issue of the Army being there. And number two, we all know that for the money to be paid, it has to be in the APP, and that was not done. So it's still under discussion, the minister was also surprised because it was mentioned by the Minister of Finance in the budget speech, and I think it's something that is still under discussion. I don't want to say is there money or not, but we know that for you to be paid, it has to be planned. There must be plans which were not there. And the other one, Chair, is around organogram, because I think this is my last chance to answer questions. I think the committee did ask for organogram, which they were not happy around issues that were raised in the organogram. Chair, I know that it's only 2 months to go and it's going to be the end of the term, and then maybe it's our last meeting here too. I'm not quite sure. But I do want to say the issue of organogram was tabled, but the committee were not happy. They had questions around organogram. I'm going to request the department, if possible, that they email the organogram that we have at the moment to members of parliament. Acting oppositions all the time in the department, again, I want to put the blame in the ministry that decisions must be taken to make sure that we don't have acting. And also, it's going to be quite difficult maybe for the acting DG to speak around acting, because those decisions of the board are taken by ministry. I think minister now in the cabinet is actually addressing those issues around water boards of acting. I do want to say most questions that we ask are directly, you know, talking to people that are in the department and those known by the acting DG. I'm not making a mistake when I say acting DG, because you are the one who will know the responsibility of each person of your team, so I would know. So the questions that I ask here, Chair, are around, almost all of them are similar. Why are we not paying the contractors on time? Why did you change the contract when it was 90% completion and we decided to change? Those issues are known by people that are in the department. And lastly, Chair, I want to say, I know the former minister, Honorable Zwane, will know, he knows what he's talking about, that you must have a plan, and you can't do work without plans. What were the plans? That will be known again by people that are here, which I think they will answer all those questions. I will. Oh, there's no electricity. I want to end by saying, Minister, Chairperson, that the minister, the current minister, has spent. So I want to say the current minister, not the former minister that I'm talking about now, because I don't think I should talk about the former when they're the current. The current minister has done a lot concerning the Giani project, because he spent most of his time in Giani trying to address all these problems. I think I'm happy to hear that one of the honorable members did go and witness the work done by the current minister. And I think that, yes, there are many questions that need to be answered. Thank you, Chair. And I will again hand over to the acting DG.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the best would be to allow Ms. Manaski to respond to the issues raised by by Honorable Basson around the Medibay project, and thereafter we will respond to other questions. The Giani project, I think we would do best that we allow Libelle to respond to, where need be, Mr. Zimbata, the regional head in Limpopo, will also maybe augment the responses. Chair, although we may sound to be blowing our own horn, with regards to Giani, it is not only the Pella that's on the run. We are there as well. And part of the success that we are currently seeing, honestly speaking, I'm sure they'll attest to that. That is because we're running inside to them, if not ahead of them. So we'll allow them to respond to these issues and then through the mask, and then we will get away possible. Address the issue of Medibay, the issue of shortage of funds with regards to the project.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll try to raise my voice. Honorable Basson, the first thing I just need to rectify before I give a response is that Phase 2A was the emergency component of the project. When we started with Maribeng in 2014, we realized that the water didn't get to Madidi and the far outlier areas of the, even though there were pipelines connecting it, bulk lines going there. The water didn't reach there because of the high demand in Maribeng, as well as the dysfunctional state of some of the sand filters at the water treatment works, that as it was standing. So why phase two at that stage covered only the refurbishment of the sand filters to get all, I think it's 14 sand filters, if my memory serves me correct, that to get all 14 sand filters in a functional state was exactly for the reasons that you actually have mentioned now. The seasonal state of the Crocodile River as mainly due to hardfish port impoundment problems as far as the eutrophication is concerned, the seasonal turn of the dam that caused the hypertrophic state of it have caused, as you said, that the sand filters didn't do its work as it's supposed to, and therefore we regarded that as the emergency component of the refurbishment, to first do that, because through the process optimization that we did on the water treatment works, we have found it to be that you have to backwash at a higher rate. And that was the reason why the sand filters was earmarked as phase 2A, emergency, to actually bring that process optimization of the water treatment works at its current state. The additional 20 megaliters per day to be added to the 60 that was there in at that stage was then part of phase 2B as per our plans. And you are correct as far as then the situation is concerned with regards to the completion of that component. So your question with regards to the disinfection and the oxidization of the water through ozone is a very valid question, because it will make it a less cumbersome process to actually get the water to the quality that it should be. The issue of bringing activated carbon in is also true, that will assist in getting the water to a higher level of quality. But the fact remains that it is also capital that we have to look at, and then also Madibeng as a water service authority must actually look at the funds for operations of such, because that will increase the cost of water as it's being distributed to the people in the area. So I think at this point in time, I think that is the short answer to your question with regards to
the
situation. In fact, the
mayor there did call at one point, indicating that they are treating their water, as they are abstracting water from the dam, Arthur's Dam, three times normally that they would have been spending. So it is mainly because of the quality of water that they are abstracting from the dam.
That's great.
So that's what they are going through, which is hitting them on their budget. So to confirm the point, and also to talk specifics about what you are making reference to. Sorry to step
in. You're 100% correct. So, but that is unfortunately the truth that you just mentioned, as far as when the dam is at its most eutrophic state, because it's not at a continuum, but when it gets that milky green, then obviously the you can understand that there's more electricity required for the pumps to be used with the backwashing of those filters, as well as that water has to be then thrown, the cars discarded away, and you have to extract more water basically, and there's less water available in the reservoirs at that stage. But once the dam changes, once the rainy season is finished and the water gets colder, then the clear water in the winter, it's just, if you go on a track record, it should be cheaper. But the issue is that we have to look upstream of Hartbeespoort to address the Madibeng challenge with regards to water quality.
Can I just quickly add, I did it last week, independent test on the quality of that water. Now, your total coliforms must be less than 10 counts per 100 milliliters. And Brit's final, taken at the plant, that final count was 12. And that raises a point. It's over the maximum limit already. So the plant is not coping. We are sending out water that could be contaminated. I even asked them to take a sample at the tap. They did it at the municipality. Now there it was fine. It was 8. So the chlorine most probably in the pipeline started to work. But we are getting to a point where it should be, it really should be somewhere around 0 to. If you start off by 10, and I understand this, understand the process, whilst it's in your reticulation, you know, it could drop because of the chlorine, because that was taken just after the chlorine. Before the chlorine, it was 69. So the chlorine did work. But we need to get, it doesn't help us to clean water and push people on risk. I don't care where the department gets that money. The department started a project that said this was 800 million rand. Now we put it 20 megaliters. We are adding a 20 megaliters. There should be another 20 megaliters. But we need to take cognizance of that the municipality must pay you for water quality. That the problem is your problem. The pollution of the Hartbeespoort Dam is your problem. You don't control downstream, and it, you, the department can't walk away. These people must pay for water. And the chair is 100% correct. They've got to backwash, and they must put more chlorine. And chlorine gives you cancer. So what are we saying? If you stay there, people, we are telling people, don't drink this water. Don't buy water. Because you can't guarantee the quality of the water, and you're right. The biggest problem in Madibeng is they don't have the capacity to to manage this plant. You can fix it today. And 6 weeks later, you'll have exactly the same problem. There's no maintenance. Those plants, and we've said that to the previous minister, and I'm saying it today again. Take away water purification plants from municipalities. You've issued the licenses. You withdraw the license and give it to someone like Michalis to clean the water that's got the capacity to clean it. So we cannot put people on risk because the water authority that is being given a license by you cannot run these plants. We can't put people on risk. Take it away from them. And they can fight here and they can do whatever they want. It's our responsibility. And it's our responsibility to make sure that in everywhere in this country where we produce water, people don't need to worry whether that water is clean, because it must be clean. So please, Chair, I really plead with the department. If you don't get harsh, Maribeng is most probably not the worst municipality on water. There are many of them in this country. Take it away, give it to someone that can give clean water to people. That function of municipalities that don't have the capacity, let's use the use it or lose it principle and get this thing going.
I guess the issue that we are dealing with here talks to the way forward. On a number of issues raised by members, so that we don't only report on progress and also on plan. Yes, plan could be part of that way forward. We need to get to that point where we are saying, now moving forward, this is how we are looking at the situation. These members have got some ideas. I did mention that these members are intelligent. They read, they research, they do all kinds of things to establish what the real issues are. I did warn you earlier. So let's as you respond, let's also be able to say going forward, so that we don't only respond to the issues raised by members. Let's be able to say moving forward, this is how we're looking at the future.
Chair, I agree with you that the issues that we're dealing with are actually what should be proposals going into the future. Let me start by saying that most of the status of our day, especially those that are in urban areas, congested urban areas, is really the contribution there is the socioeconomic status of most of the people there. You will realize that even with the Haritis, there are a lot of informal settlements, and all that waste ends up in the dams, and that is why you'll have eutrophication and all these other things that you are having there. Secondly, the issue of early municipalities that are unable to perform their functions on water and sanitation, it is not to the department, Honorable Gasson, that assigns those responsibilities. In terms of the Act, it is the Minister of COCTA in concurrence with the Minister of Water. Now, once there is no provision that you can take it away from them except through this constitutional process of Section 139 and whatever, putting them under administration. So at the moment, Minister has made a proposal on the future of water and sanitation, the function on water and sanitation. That's a proposal that he has indicated that he has put to Cabinet and to other members, our political principals. There's also an issue of the COCTA was presenting to us not so long ago that they are in the process of changing or amending the Municipal Infrastructure Act, which would then speak to how these municipalities, the 80 municipalities, are going to be put together with those that can, such that
these issues of alien municipalities that are unable, truly unable to deliver on this function can be assisted. So that's the future. In the interim, as I said, there's an interministerial task team that we are supporting on service delivery. And this new thing on the rapid response team that we are trying to assist. But I'm thinking, Chair, and I'm hoping, rather, that this issue will be dealt with so that in future, maybe a year or so, we will not be talking about municipalities that are unable to deliver on their functions and that we now have to, from time to time, even to respond to what really is not within our scope and not covered within our budget as a result of that being outside of the mandate of the department. So it is, at the moment, it is just intergovernmental relations, cooperating with COFTA, and trying to get the municipalities to also understand the impact they have on the broader function of water and sanitation. Now, getting to the specific questions that have been asked, I will ask Leonardo to speak to how we are planning for this project. But we do need to upfront accept that there's a problem in how we are planning for projects, and it is having a serious impact on what we are doing, and also indicate that the plan is that we will need to, in a way, have, because we've got so many projects, some of which are stalling, some of which are costing us even more as a result of the penalties that we have to pay to the service providers, and the litigations that we have to, unfortunately, have to also spend on. We are intending to have a total overhaul, a total look at this project, especially preparing for the current, for the coming MTSF period on the APP. So I wish to Leonardo to respond to the specific questions. Yes, Chair.
You say you have a problem in planning. In a nutshell, that's what you're saying.
Yes, Chair.
What is the problem?
Okay. It's historic, Chairperson, that the limited amount of money of budget that we had was thinly spread throughout the country. And there was also an issue of cost.
When?
It's some of these projects run from, I think, 2014 or even before that. So that's why I'm saying it's a historic problem.
Chair, can I quickly say something? See, 2015.
Let me speak to that through that thing.
The department underspent 2 billion rand. There was funds, they didn't spend it. The next year, the minister gave back 900 million to National Treasury in half year, that they knew they will underspend again. So that was, so it's, it can never be money, Chair. It can't be money. But it's 3 billion rand that was given back to Treasury that they couldn't spend, which they did not spend. So I don't accept the excuse of no money. I understand it now for last year because they had to use 8 billion rand of their money to pay accruals, Reserve Bank, whatever the case may be.
Overdraft,
yeah.
You see, Edson DG, a number of you are doing so well in the department. But when it comes to planning, I did say to some of your officials, if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. Your problems, at the heart of them, they are there in that planning. That you have delays in projects, that there could be this need for this big machine to break on this one particular stone, big stone, somewhere in Free State in your bucket eradication program, unforeseen. But where are your geological reports for those kinds of things? That are supposed to be, where are your quantity surveyors? Now, to go to a point where talking to some of your officials, Deputy Minister, saying to them, if I were in a position to be responsible for this department, I would have been firing all of them. Because you don't have managers. A manager is somebody who must be able to plan. We don't have planners. That's the crux of what you are dealing with in the department. That today we have a report that tells you delays here, delays there, strikes, you know, funding, delays because of this and that and that. As a result, more money is being spent on your standing time, more money is being spent on litigation, and you know, those are all unnecessary expenditures. That's what happens in a situation where you have delays. That's what we are dealing with here. Let's go ahead to a point where we are able to say let's be proactive as we point a way forward for your department.
It looks like your last statement is putting us a bit off or somehow unclear.
There are questions from the members. Let's respond to them. As we respond, let us equally be able to say this is the way forward.
Thank you, Chair. As far as the questions are concerned, there's a number of them that spoke on the planning issue, and I think that you have now really summarized the situation regarding the planning issue, and we need to check that up. We concur, we accept that, but I perhaps can just add another element that we just need to keep in mind as well, is that the moment we outsource a project, there's basically a competitive bidding system, a program that's allowed different contractors or service providers to compete in, and they then and they cost the project, and they cost it according to their plan as well, that they then, and every plan has a different cost. So if we then accept a plan or a project, but because of it's the cheapest and it's the most efficient as it's being adjudicated, then that plan is also then for that implementation of that specific project is then accepted. So the moment a contractor, well, obviously the contractors, they hopefully they have been trained at school in terms of that you need to avail the time, as Honorable Mguni then has also mentioned to us, that there are contingencies that you have to plan for. But contingencies also have a cost element. So if you are now planning for, say, 45 days contingencies, and a competitor then cater for 20 days contingencies, then my competitor is obviously going to have an edge over me as far as the price is concerned. And the regulations as far as project adjudication is that the phase that caters on the cost is actually favoring the one who's actually coming in cheaper. So perhaps we must just keep in mind that, that I'm not making an excuse. Please do not accept, receive it as that way. But it is just that we need to keep in mind that there's those kind of elements that then we also have to face with. Because there is lots of motivation that is required that should we not take the cheapest contractor. So that be as it may, I then want to move to your question as to far as the costly nature of delays. It's a very heavy question to answer because you make mention of the fact of the social political impact that the delay is, and unfortunately I don't have the algorithm to calculate the cost socially of a delay. But we accept it, that is true. But as far as the costly concern of delays of implementation on our own infrastructure, like for instance the infrastructure that we can mention Tzaneen, Clan William, all the large infrastructure that's our own that we don't work in the municipal space. When we are busy with refurbishment of such infrastructure and those projects are delayed, according to the GRAP the rules, that we basically have to impair the value of that infrastructure as well with a delay towards completion, which means that is not perhaps a cost immediately out of the budget, but in the long term on the asset value of the department we have that impact as well. So with the assistance of the, we had a very, I don't want to give him credit, but we had a very vigorous Auditor General official that assisted us last year and the year before, that the way forward is in the intervention that came from that report, is where through our finance and our CFO is here. We have a financial management unit that is busy working on that component as well, as to see that how we can cost that and note it ahead of time as far as our own infrastructure is concerned, to ensure that we, the impact of our delays is well known and also recorded in the annual financial statements. In terms of the delays of the other projects that is not our own infrastructure but that we do within in municipalities, obviously there's areas where the report can give us the cost as it's related to the delays, because that can be easily calculated and that can be availed to the members if so required. The plan was just mentioned by the Honourable Doctor with regards to the bucket eradication program. Since our own construction unit is now taking responsibility for the implementation of the bucket eradication, it is easier to hold them responsible than to keep or somebody outside responsible. But the project plans that were given to us, together with the assistance of our engineering services unit, at the last or the latest completion date in the Free State, I think is March 2020, which will mean that it is in the end of the next financial year, and that would be, as the presentation I've presented, that would be for the project in Clocolan, Senekal, Arlington, Petrusstein, Dealsville, and all the others will then be completed within this year, calendar year, but in the next financial year. As it speaks. So this is the project plan that is keeping us that we need to take responsibility for. The minister has initiated a two-weekly ministerial feedback on all projects implemented by ourselves, that we have to report back to the minister. And that committee has been religiously sitting since the minister made that pronouncement here in the portfolio committee. So we have to give account to the minister on those project plans. The slide that honourable member asked regarding slide 7 with regards to DSRP, the Dam Safety Rehabilitation Program, is to say, how is it possible that the contract expired before the contractor has taken on site? It's quite unfortunate that the adjudication panel that did the adjudication of this project, they felt that the document that was presented by the contractor was well prepared, and it looked like they knew exactly what was required to do the work. However, they, according to the CIDB requirement as well, it is that you cannot allow a contractor as a client to take sites without the required documentation, such for argument's sake as a health and safety file, for the not only for the employees that are there, but also for the community and the public for that matter. And as a client, we cannot abdicate that responsibilities. So we could not allow the contractor to go ahead without doing that. We explained that to them as far as the DR, the Department of Environment, the NEMA, sorry, Act requirements. We also require a environmental control officer to be on site. The contractor could not provide that. And that was the reason as to why the contractor didn't take sites. And even though there were numerous conversations and interaction formally with this contractor for over 9 months, there was just not no response from it, and that is the reason why it was decided not to extend the contract, to allow the contractor to go ahead, but rather to bring in our own internal contractor to complete the work. The issue of Ratlau, I will ask my colleague at the back, Thomas, who is the acting chief director for ARBIC, to give a response to your question, Honourable Member. DJ, I think I
don't know. I'm not convinced of the response. The one of the contract that expired before taking site, he's saying he failed to start working because of the document that has expired. I don't think the process of adjudication and the awarding goes ahead on the same day. They should have seen that during that time of adjudication. I don't know if I don't understand this thing. They said they didn't award, he never been on site because of the expired document. I think when they do their adjudication, they check all the documents, and that's where you get the expired document and whatever before you appoint. You can't say it has been appointed then the expired document later. I don't know if maybe I'm not at par with this process. But maybe it doesn't make sense.
Can you explain that? Maybe they can you re-explain that?
Maybe yeah, I will yeah, understand yeah. Clearly, but for now.
That's why we emphasize re-explain.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. During adjudication, you don't have the safety file. The safety file is to be presented per site, so it must be site-specific. So when you do adjudication, you haven't been... because it also has cost associated to actually get the safety file in place. There is also cost associated in get the environmental control officer appointed. So that happens after you have an appointment letter. So if I have if the department is a client and now five contractors that's applying for one job, you do that based upon the bill of quantity pricing, and you do that based on the ability portrayed through the submission that's being made in terms of the bid that's given. And then once that is completed, you do that, and now you say one out of the five gets the job. Then the first thing the appointed contractor must do is to produce a safety file for that site, that specific site, and then to get the environmental control officer to actually do the specific environmental compliance. This environmental control officer, according to the law, should be independent of the contractor. So it's not somebody that he or she will carry with them. It will be an independent control officer to ensure compliance with the National Environmental Management Act during the construction. So as a client, the department will be non-compliant to the Act of both assets I mentioned, if we allow the contractor to take site without approving compliance in those two regards of those two pieces of legislation. So once we have given the letter to the contractor, as to say you are now appointed, this contractor then failed after numerous interactions with the contractor to actually do that. And eventually that's the reason why we then decided to terminate. Or not, rather, to extend.
Chairperson, were you paying that contractor to in that process? Were any funds exchanged?
We only paid the invoice, and the contractor didn't invoice us.
Okay, let's move on with the rest of what is expected, and then we shall have to park on some of those areas and come back to them.
Sorry, Chair, I think there was a afterwards question that I wrote in a separate place. Apologies for that. The issue on Plan William, we have taken site, our internal contractor has taken site, they're already busy with the abatement works, so that is happening. The Mzimbubu project, the advanced works is being commenced, the construction is actually taking site there as well after negotiations with the traditional leader. So the site has been procured, secured, and they are busy going ahead. The issue of the procurement that was mentioned earlier as to be have been the delay, that is true. But as I also mentioned to the in previous responses, that is part of the ministerial intervention to ensure that is being turned around, and that is part of the two-weekly response to the minister to ensure that we unlock all of those things that have been locked for so long.
Mr. Minister, can you just briefly respond to the questions around Ratlo, the Sakula project in Northwest?
Thank you, our acting EDG. In terms of the Ratlo project, yes, we are aware that there was a challenge in terms of the civilian. Civilian is our implementing agent at that project. The project was having some challenges in terms of the funding. But we have now made some arrangements in the department in terms of the reallocations to ensure that we also make money available to the project so until the end of the financial year, so that all the outstanding invoices and all what is needed need to be paid, and then CDBM will then pay the contractors. And as I'm speaking, I also made aware that they've negotiated with the contractors to come back on duty, and the contractor is back on site because of the confirmation of the money department means available. Thank you.
What is the difference between reallocation and vermint?
Can we allow the acting CFO to explain?
Thank you, Chairperson. The environments are between programs, and the reallocation that Mr. Niso is referring to are those that are made within within the same regional bulk fund. So it's just movement between the projects.
Within the same program?
Yes, within the same grant. He's referring to the RB grant. So it's moving money in between the projects. Yeah, which are within the Arabic fund.
Okay, let's move ahead. Not yet to cover. TG?
I'm trying to go through my notes to check whether there's any question that we haven't responded to, and I'm not seeing any that we haven't responded to. Okay, all right. He's reminding me that there are questions, follow-up questions on Guyana. Can I give over to the CEO?
Thanks, Chair, Honourable Members and Deputy Minister, once again. The first question on the duration of the project. We started this project in August 2014. In terms of the contract we have signed, we are supposed to conclude by October 2019. Some of the questions I answer, Chair, I will link them to an extent that the response I give can address more than one question. On the process plans, before we can award any contract, we perform a rigorous risk assessment process, which would then inform the duration of the contract, taking into account some of the unforeseens which may be likely. Example being your community strikes, the vis major, or a force of nature where it can rain and the work cannot continue on site. And the other example may be the payment disputes between the service provider and the employer. We did the same in this regard, and it has effectively informed the duration of the contract we have signed with the service provider. We have never had a price escalation which we couldn't pick up and avoid during the subsistence of the contract. What the media has reported was a glaring distortion of facts in relation to the fact that they said this contract was 500 million and it ballooned to 3 billion. This contract from the beginning, in terms of the signed bill of quantities and the business plan, as per the directive issued by the Department of Labor and Social Affairs, has always been 2.8 billion, excluding VAT and the management fee. So what the media was reporting then was the payment in relation to certificate number 5, which was talking to the milestones achieved by that time, which was 500 million. On the open trenches, on whether there were number plates and fences, yes, there were number plates and fences in relation to some of the trenches. On others, they were not. And there was also a question raised in relation to the project cooling slowly. What actually is the challenge? It is not necessarily cooling slowly, Chair. The scale and the enormity of the project is such that it had to take the length or the duration of time it is taking. I've already indicated number of milestones achieved already. We are working on the bulk replacement of the pipelines, 8 of them. The combined distance of this pipeline spans for not less than 325 kilometers. You have got the wastewater treatment works, which we have completed, and not less than 138 boreholes, including the 6 that we have drilled and equipped in the Nkensani Hospital. The question raised by the Honourable Members, one in relation to the sufficiency of the steps we took upon realizing that the Mutongo kit fell into a trench. Yes, we would have gone to an extent of terminating the contract, that is beyond doubt. By the time this incident happened, we had already terminated the contract, although on different grounds. But this alone could have been a sufficient ground for termination of the contract. That is the reason why currently we are helping the family to take legal steps against the service provider. Because it does not only take the service provider to put the danger blades or the fences. They were supposed, in terms of the signed contract, to make sure that there isn't any danger opened as a result of the work they do, as per the signed contract between us and them. The point raised by Honourable Member Kaula on whether we had the project oversight and monitoring, Our answer is yes. It included a number of professionals such as accountants, quantity surveyors, and engineers who would, on every certificate that we have to process, go to the site, monitor the work, and make sure that we pay for what we can satisfactorily say is the service that has been rendered to our level of expectation. But with the benefit of the hindsight, we appreciate the new developments that we were supposed to have had direct community representation in the project steering committee. And that is what is happening currently. The current arrangements are in the project steering committee would have community representatives such as traditional leaders and religious leaders drawn from various sections of Guyana, the area that is the focus of the intervention. I've already touched on the second point on the work we did on the boreholes. In terms of our scope, we had to work on 154 boreholes, 138 we completed the work. Currently we are finalizing the balance of 16. Work is also continuing on the assessment of number of boreholes that were vandalized because we have to repair them once again. The point on the SIU investigations and how much should be claimed from LTE, yes, we are aware that the way SIU investigations, currently the matter is pending before the courts where the SIU has made findings that LTE has to pay back the money it has received due to the finding that this contract is irregular. I do not think I should comment on the merits or demerits of the finding since, well, the matter is pending before court check. The comment on the work we are doing in the area and the need to push further, we welcome it, Chair, and resonating the DG's sentiment. This is a collective work by Lebelle, Department of Water and Sanitation, Mopani, we've also brought into the space MISA, SALGA, and the Office of the Premier Limpopo. Not forgetting COPTA as well. So it's a multi-dimensional or multi-sectoral effort, hence the results that you are seeing currently. There was a point raised by Honorable Member Mguni on the legal stroke financial implications of the impact of this project, linking it to the point once raised to say once the contractor cannot perform the work, he or she has to continue to claim for standing time. You only claim for standing time if the reasons related to the delay can squarely be apportioned to the employer. So in this case, the reasons related to the delay cannot be squarely apportioned to the employer. I'm not trying to downplay any issue in relation to the delayed payments, sir, but the nature of the dispute we have had with LTE is such that when we receive their certificate, we have to walk the site and ensure that work has been done and payment must then follow. The department, if it's not satisfied, it has to do the same. So in this case, while this process was unfolding, LTE had to throw tantrums and leave the site. So whatever amount of time it took for us to get them on site or for this project to stall, they cannot come back and claim for any delay payment. That's what they've attempted to do, slapping us with a claim for 86 million to say the project had delayed, we owe them, but we refused to pay because the nature of the dispute was such that we are not satisfied with some of the things they were claiming in their certificate. Hence, it even resulted in us terminating the relationship. The situation would, of course, be different if the delay was solely apportioned or caused by the department and the Bell failing to honor the invoices. On the nature of the community-based structure, Chair, we have got the project steering committee, which we have always had. The project manager or the designer. We do not currently need the designer because the design is already done. All we need is a project professional who would oversee the continuation of the work to completion. We are preparing to go out on tender for 14 days. Treasury has already given us that approval. But in the meantime, we solicited the department to forward a team of engineers who would help us to continue with the work parallel to us advertising and appointing an engineer to help us to take the work to completion. So you still have the contractor, in this case Construction North, the project steering committee, manned by Lebelle, broadly representative of community structures, and all government structures such as MISA, DWS, and Mubani. And then on the project oversight or the engineer, we solicited a request from the department to help us in that regard, whilst we are running a tender to appoint an independent engineer. Thanks very much.
It's that crunch time for some of the members. Members usually schedule lunchtime meetings. Ngostebe Kulu has already excused himself. Let's see how fast can we be. Did you still have any other responses?
No, Chair. I do not see any question that we haven't responded to.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to check from Lebelle on Giani Same Road. On that main line, usually, if not a weekly, there is a pipe burst, and I think it's the main line one. I don't know what's the problem, or do you have a plan concerning that burst of that pipeline time and again? Before, it used to be an asbestos line, but it's like it has been changed, but still, we experiencing that. I don't know whether you have noticed that or not. Thanks.
You sabotage yourself. I know there's someone that's there. Overall that wants to speak now.
No,
come on.
No, yes, yes, it is. Then I was just to say that I knew that. No, get me now. Before we had, before we was standing, we could make a lot of money. But if Conan Ted Corner, in Newcastle, and Abunim Pozi, if I'm an army, now then I call for the financial thing and about the land. But when I could have been in that book, Conan Connolly, in Newcastle, I was 26. In your game, put them 14 and a quarter, their parents and their couple. And you want to answer that. Child, I'm going to come to someone in the community. I'll soon manage this government. I'm not saying my career. Or to share the point, but to live, I feel river. But if I could have a lot.
I heard some of the answers to the questions that I posed before.
there was an issue that I spoke about for the WAP 26 at Queen Castle in a place called Enyogeni, about other patches that are there. Apparently, this is a rural area, and the people are covering there. Some schemes have to be actually lifted or carried to the station of war. This is a rural area, and there's also heaps of soil all around this. I'll also request that the Deputy Minister actually look into this issue, because it's causing a bit of trouble. Thank you.
We'll try and do that.
I also asked that since we are heading to the election, what are we going to give as answers to the people when they complain, especially the people that have been moved from their areas, places like Nandoni, Hezomuyadem, but especially the people from Nandoni. Thank you.
I can answer that.
No.
Tell the people where the VBA's money is.
Have you been able to reach as far as Newcastle?
Chair, I've just been inquiring from the team. Nobody seems to know about the project in Newcastle. We will check and prevent. It could be.
Probably one of those municipal projects.
Yes.
Can we do some homework and then come back to us via media and then circulate such a response to all the members? So, kala ukwenza njalo, ma'am. Madia athole impendulo and then ayihambise to kuthi sonke singamalunga eParliament leKomiti. Okay. Thanks, Mama. Members, in the absence of any further questions, this was a session. You are insisting, sir? Oh yeah, sorry. You have less than half a minute to raise your.
No, you haven't asked any questions. I just wanted to find out whether in the department there is a risk management office.
There is what?
The risk management office. CBN and communicated characters to deep identify some of these problems and those problems.
No,
sir, I didn't say I'm going to answer that question. I was saying, can the department get information around the risk management and send it to you, because the chairperson is actually worried about time. But before you chair, I would like to thank the committee for your efforts in terms of the work done at Giani. I know you've been, allow me to use the word harassing us to finish that project. And I know also the issue of the trenches that are now closed is because of you. But just only one thing that I forgot, Chair, concerning the CFO. The shortlisting has been done of the COO, and also it will be interviewed from now onwards. I think when you come back, you will get the results of the CFO. Again, Mamu Makaula, it's not the first time that you talk about all the issues that you've raised, but I requested to Minister that if he can allow me to visit KZN Chair
reasons is because many areas in the KZN were told that there are problems in terms of water shortages. I know that Ngutu has been one of the regions that I was told, Kasamba and Nyokeni, and the minister has allowed me to go and check those problems. But I'm communicating with KZN to answer all your questions, Mam Makaul. And also the issue of the issue of relocation of houses and also the houses that are not in good condition. I'm requesting that we need to write a report and that will be sent to the chair concerning also, I mean, those issues that you raised, Chair. Lastly, Chair, the issue of the DG, it is now in the hands of the presidency, because we were told that when the minister was beginning to do the advertising of the DG, that it is now taken to the president. He is the one that is going to make sure that there is a DG, let me say, next year or next term. That is after this in May, that we'll make sure that maybe there's going to be a DG. If I don't see you, Chair, this term, I want to thank you for your efforts, for your work done to the committee. I might see you again, but all the issues that you raised, issue of filling of the vacancies in the department, the organogram of the department, there are issues that I will write a report to the minister and that you will get the answers very soon. Thank you very much, Chair.
Members, that brings us to the end of our discussion. Okay. Did you acting teacher? Mrs. Makhabane has asked a question.
I can't remember. I think it's very late they remember because the reason.
She just repeated in less than a minute.
It's about the pipeline.
The pipe best. I think the question was directed at Lipelle.
No, thanks, Chair. Just in a second. You have got the old asbestos cement pipeline in Giani, which we are still using to convey water to the community, despite the fact that they are dilapidated, and from time to time they will burst. Currently, of the 8 pipelines we're working on, only 3, and the one made mention of by the Honourable Member is not this one, only 3 are connected. We are yet to finish the testing and the commissioning. So we are still working on the old ones. That's why we are experiencing incessant pipes. But what we will do, Chair, once we finish the testing and commissioning, we will communicate in writing to the portfolio committee members so that some of you who can work with us on the site to see the extent to which we have done the work. When we come back with report, then there will be an appreciation from some amongst you who could have managed to go to the site.
Thanks for that. Always communication goes via media for media to circulate any such information to all the members. Members, it's election time. It's election fever. May the best win. I won't say may the worst lose. We are still meeting next week. We shall have to be receiving submissions from the water boards. The Office of the Auditor General routinely we are supposed to have met with them first, and then we have the water boat coming through. We are likely going to meet on a Tuesday. I don't know how many members that we have here who do not meet on Tuesday. Reason why we have to do that exercise with the Office of the Auditor General is because that office empowers us as we prepare to meet with the water boards. So that's the dilemma in which Madia did confess that the Office of the Auditor General almost left this almost until so late. Am I right? Or unless the message was passed through to Madia and Madia forgot. Which is which? Oh, Madia forgot to schedule. Madia, let me put it politically correct. Mm. Madia forgot to advise us to schedule. That's how it is. As a result, we might have to meet on a Tuesday. Even if it's during lunchtime, if other members are busy. And then Madia shall host us for that lunch. 1 hour, 1.5 hour. Let's see how it pans out. So we're talking about next week with the water board, and the schedule shall be circulated to members. We are here until the 20th of March. Until election time as to who comes back, that shall be seen in action when the best wins and the worst loses. Nobody loses, I must say. We all participate and see how far best we can go. Members, let's meet next week. Enjoy the weekend as you are at work.
Hey, you